has always been from eternity past and will always be through eternity future. And we hear of him, and in the Old Testament, the gospel was preached. And that was preached in the Old Testament looked forward to the cross of Calvary and the birth and the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and him being crucified on the cross of Calvary. Now we know that under the old economy or the Old Testament, that the people had to do menial tasks. They had to work at keeping themselves lined up with God or to satisfy God by rituals, which had them in bondage. But we today, they were looking forward to the coming of Christ. And today, we live under a new covenant. And as the Lord was on the cross, and he cried, "It is finished," the veil was rent from top to bottom. And that was saying that God had opened the way of that veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, and that nobody could go into the most holy place but once a year, and that being the high priest. And the people could not go in directly. The priest went in every day and did service in the tabernacle on the behalf of the people to turn their sins back for one more year, as he did once a year. But now, since that veil has been rent, we have an open way to go directly as the priest of believers. I believe in the priesthood of the church. I believe in the priesthood of the believers. That we can go in directly today in the presence of Almighty God because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, and the justification that he procured for us, that we don't have a human being on this earth to go to the throne of grace on our behalf anymore, that we can go there into the presence of God. That is a blessing. This is he said, "I come to give you a new covenant." So this sermon today on the new cloth on an old garment. In John 3, 1 through 6, John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, 1 through 6, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again, or being born from above. Where the Old Testament saints would worship God under the bondage of doing different menial work in rituals, that Jesus Christ put a stop to, of the offering of animal sacrifice. And we are not saved by the blood of bulls and of goats, but we are saved by the precious blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, Neither is there any other, there is salvation in any other, for there is none other name given in heaven, even among men, whereby that we must be saved. So Jesus Christ is, according to John chapter 14 and verse 6, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Christianity cannot be reduced to rituals. Christ did not come simply to add something to the old or to Judaism. He came to replace that way of worship through the new covenant, through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, He put a stop to the sacrifices of bulls and of goats and of animals because the perfect sacrifice has been given. And He procured our salvation through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are justified through His person and His work. In Mark chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17, I'd like to read. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Verse 17 says, And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He did not come to save the self-righteous, but he come to save sinners. In Mark 2, 21 and 22, it says, No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, lest the new piece that filleth it up taketh away from the old, and the cloth is made worse. The rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilt, and the bottles will be marred, and new wine must be put into new bottles. Now Jesus Christ, as I've already said, he did not come to do a patchwork for the children of God, to add to Judaism or to the old. But the scripture says that we are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We understand in this parable, there are in this scriptures that we read, that new cloth attached to an old garment will not work. The new will tear the old. And the new wine put into old bottles will not work, and it will burst the bottles. So Christ was teaching here that he did not come to do a patchwork. Christianity is entirely new. We have a new covenant. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 and 28, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink all ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, or for the elect, for the remission of sins. Now this, he instituted the Lord's Supper there with his disciples there on the night before the Passover before the crucifixion. And he says this blood is for a new testament. In Hebrews 10:19, 20, and 21, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. So Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for his people. Hebrews 10. Verse 39 says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. All of God's elect will persevere to the end. And we are preserved by God, and we will be preserved by God's grace. We will persevere to the end, but this perseverance is not because of us, but it is because that God perseveres and that he has preserved us from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, 1 John 1 and 9, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that thou which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So under the new economy, we as the children of God have an accountability or a responsibility that we are to maintain good works as we follow Him. So we have a new covenant relationship with God. In Exodus 24 and 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." Jeremiah 31, 32, and 33 says, "Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and bare them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 11. God will save His people. "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water." So when Jesus Christ came, died on the cross under the new covenant, He said that I have not only my words written on stone, but I will have them in the heart of flesh. So under this new covenant, we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the heart. And it's not from a fleshly standpoint. The Scripture says, "He that worshipeth Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." So it is through His New Testament church that I believe, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, that He gets honor and glory. "Unto Him be glory in the church throughout all ages through Christ Jesus, world without end." The blood of thy covenant. God's covenant are ratified by blood sacrifice. They are ratified by blood sacrifice. Hence, they're binding. The new cloth is Christianity. The old cloth is Judaism. As believing, we enter into a new covenant. John 17 is the high priestly prayer or the Lord's prayer. And in verse 17, he says that sanctify them by thy word. Thy word. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the high priestly prayer here that the Lord was praying for those that God had given them, him, and that he died for, and that he said that none that the Father has given me will be lost. And so we have our high priest today still sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now this is the John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. I know a lot of people refers to the model prayer as the Lord's Prayer, but John 17 here, I believe, is referred to as the Lord's Prayer because he was praying a high priestly prayer for himself and then for those that the Father had given him. And so this is the real Lord's Prayer and is often called the high priestly prayer of Christ because he prayed first for himself and then for his own. He prayed for the 12 in verse 6, you notice. And then all who will believe on him through their words in verse 20. So that includes us, doesn't it? He was praying that he would bless the nucleus of his New Testament church there. And also, he said, to bless those that believe through their word. So that includes us as the Gentiles that has believed through the ministry of the prophets and of the apostles. This is a covenant that God the Father made with the Son. God the Son bled and died on the cross in obedience to the Father, and the Father coveted to give the Son all who come to God by faith. As believers, we have entered into this covenant, and our salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, according as he, God, has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Listen, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 11, in whom also that we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after, what? The counsel of his own will. Verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Which is, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now this, which is the earnest. Now this word earnest means a down payment or a surety. And God has a surety, or if you please, a down payment. And this word earnest means it is the divine pledge from God of all of our future blessings. It says here that is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. See, it's already been purchased. We have it as a possession because it's been redeemed by Jesus Christ unto the praise of His glory. But we will not realize all the benefits of what He has done until the glorification. But all the blessings that we receive from now on are from time that we was born again, or God purposed them to save us. All the blessings that we receive is pledged by a divine pledge of God that we will receive all of those. And our salvation, our inheritance is so sure in the mind and the purpose of God that we are already there. Until the inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. So, we have a new communion or a new fellowship. Or the Greek word for that is koinonia. We have a new communion or fellowship or koinonia with God. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. It says, the cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We fellowship in this fellowship with one another in the church, the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of Christ's shed blood, we are now a part of His body and enjoy His fellowship. Colossians 1:18 says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. So we must stay right with God so that we may stay right with one another. If we, as the children of God, members of one of the Lord's churches, is not right with God, then we can't be right with our brothers and sisters or nobody else, can we? So that's the reason it behooves us that we maintain good works and in fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Every Christian is a new creation in Christ, not a patchwork job. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so when we were born into God's family, we had a new birth from above. John 1:12-13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's pretty plain, isn't it? We hear a lot about the will of man today. Let God do this or do this or that. We are finite beings. God is infinite. We cannot tell God anything. So therefore, we are born again. Not of flesh, not because who our mom and daddy was. not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Romans 3 and verse 11 says, 10 and 11 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way. So it is by the will of God that we as the elect of God are able to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the immediate work and the opening of our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit. And then, that is the reason it is important that we hear the gospel is that after we have been quickened and been born again, that we can be converted to the ways of Jesus Christ and to live to Him. If it wasn't for His Word and us hearing the gospel, we wouldn't know how to live for God. John 3 and 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, understand, or perceive the kingdom of God. So, after that, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transform. Now, transform means to change a thing into a different thing. The Christian life is not some outward reformation. We hear a lot about in the reformation in the religious realm. But the Christian life is not a reformation. It is a transformation. It is not like putting a new cloth on an old garment. It is all new. We are new creatures in Christ. 1 John 3 and 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we are not to be like the devil in the world. We are to be purifying ourselves through the washing of the water by the Word, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, what is that saying? It says that the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That means that we are supposed to be working out, making sure of our election and our calling according to the will of God. And that in our lives we are to show forth the death of the dying of Christ. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, and for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So living in the hope of the Lord coming, of the Lord's coming. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, the day of the Lord. Here refers to the return of Christ in judgment. His day results in final apathetic judgment or final judgment. Also, it says the heavens shall pass away with great noise. This is the atmospheric heavens that he's talking about. With great noise. Things is going to be happening to the planets and everything of creation. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. This surely could refer to a nuclear holocaust. In Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith that the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Thus Peter here is urging his readers to look beyond this present world to the new heaven and to the new earth, characterized by righteousness. Revelation 21, verse 2. Revelation 21 and 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, in verse 8 of Revelation 2, 21. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 2 Peter 3 and 11 says, seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, our lifestyle, and godliness? So, as we see that Jesus Christ came not to overhaul or to remake from the old economy, but he gave us a new economy, and it is based upon his death, burial, resurrection, and his crucifixion and our justification that he gave us and procured for us on the cross of Calvary. So, seeing that all of these things, as we see it today, are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? We ought not to try to live in the old life and also try to use it as a patch-up in the new life. And that's what a person, I believe, is doing, that is saying that I believe or I trust and I've believed in Christ and there has been no change in their lifestyle or in their way of life. They live like the devil in the world during the week, and then they show up on Sunday. I think that's what they're doing, trying to put patchwork, trying to put the new on the old. And it don't work. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. John 6:44 says, and that no man can come to me unless my Father draw him. So, let us, as the elect of God that are members of one of the Lord's churches, as a privilege, that we take serious our profession, and we make sure of our calling and our election, that we strive to live by this book every day of our lives and not try to mix the old life with the new life. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that's not saying that we're perfect. That's not saying that we don't make mistakes. But that is saying that the Scripture says that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And when we ask forgiveness of our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And I'm a firm believer that a true born-again believer will exemplify a lifestyle that will be pleasing unto the Lord overall, even though we make mistakes, but we ask forgiveness and we quit doing those things and learn by our mistakes and not do them again. But an individual that professes Christ and they are living a consistent worldly lifestyle and never think about God and His service and His church, the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you say that you love me and keep my commandments, you're a liar and the truth's not in. So may the Lord bless today. I trust that something has been said to glorify our Lord and that would edify the body of Christ and those that are listening. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you, Lord, that you are God and besides you there's none other. That you're the only Savior. You're the only preserver. You're the only buckler. The only way that we can survive, Lord, is through your mercy and your grace. And you've promised us that your people are preserved by your Spirit, by your Word, and that we will persevere to the end. And we thank you, Lord, for all things that you've done for us, that you are doing, and what you're going to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, we have a closing hymn.